Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today is Aloha Means Forever, the story of the Honolulu Strangler. Brandy, what's your thoughts on that?
I love Honolulu.
I know. Tommy Lane, of course, is from Honolulu. I was from Hawaii. I don't know if she lives in Honolulu or not, but I
wonder this, Timmy. But did the man use those little flowery things they put around your neck
and
you get there?
Lay.
Yeah, you get in there and then they're like, "Ah, I tricked you," and they twist it all up and then you're like falling over.
Dude, when I went, when my ex and I went to Hawaii, I told her the whole trip. I said, you know, a beautiful little girl, you know, is going to put a lei around my neck and kiss me when we get up, when we get off the plane. And so this whole trip, I mean, like 12-hour flight, I'm telling her this. And we get off the plane, and, you know, and there's, you know, the beautiful island girl. She puts the lei around my ex's neck and then she kisses her. She puts one on my neck. She don't even kiss me. Don't hug me, nothing. Just like kind of throws it on there like it's a, you know, ring toss.
Like a horseshoe. Yeah, like throwing on a horseshoe.
See, I when I got there, I got groped and everything else. I had to get a shirt, Timmy.
Well, you didn't.
They said, "I love Hawaii."
Well, I don't think you flew 12 hours, so I'm not believing that story.
Oh, I didn't fly. Yeah. Fuck no, I ain't flying over there. I just swam.
I see. Well, we haven't done one of these in a couple weeks, so I'm glad we're back. And we haven't done a serial killer in a while, so this will be good.
We have not done a serial killer.
You know, we have that whole, we had a whole group of people follow us just for our discussions on serial killers, so. My mother being one of them, yeah.
Well, Dottie will be happy to know that a bunch of people fell in this one.
Yeah, a lot of people die, so we're going to talk about the Honolulu Strangler. By the way, it's an unsolved murder. So
I know who did it. Murders.
I know who did it.
You do, Charles?
I do, yeah.
Well, you can tell us at the end, okay? Keep our listeners guessing.
See, when you get these unsolved ones, Timmy, and then you give me the script about a week in advance, I get on the internet and start Googling around.
You start doing some research, in other words.
Oh, yeah.
Some detective work, Brandy.
That's not what happens at all.
Well, let me first remind our listeners that we are a true crime history/history comedy podcast. We use adult language. So if adult language offends you.
Brandy, if adult language offends them, what do you suggest they do, devil?
I roll the fuck
off. Go fuck themselves. Get the fuck out of here.
Or you could.
You know what? You're like your drunk uncle or at Thanksgiving. Get the fuck out of here.
Or you could check out one of the other fine independently produced podcasts out there. By the way, we're going to be in at the True Crime Comedy Podcast Festival in Chicago this summer in July. So we would invite all of our listeners to join us. We have DweebCon 2018, the Return of the Colonel, or 2019, Return of the Colonel. That's going to take place the first weekend of October here in Cincinnati. We would invite you to join us here for that. And if you want more information on both of those events, just join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast, and you will get all the information you need so you can join us and talk about crime, because Brandy loves to talk about crime.
Yeah, and you get more than you ever asked for.
Speaking of DweebCon, Timmy, really the star of DweebCon is Nina's dad, Joe.
Yes.
When he comes down, and he's a little under the weather, so we are thinking about Joe and hoping that he gets better.
Yeah, he's had a rough time recently. So Joe, get better. And
that guy's one of the funniest guys I ever met.
Yeah, he is. Great. And it's always a highlight of
DweebCon. It is. People look forward to when Joe's going to get there.
Mm-hmm. He's my boyfriend.
He's your boyfriend? Well,
he doesn't know it though.
Well, yeah, I have lots of relationships like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me introduce our panel. I am very happy to introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, the magnificent Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Queen Brandy?
I had a little bit of a rough night, but, you know, we're plowing through.
Not well,
in a good place. What?
Not well.
No, you know what? I try and stay positive, unlike you, and I'm... You know, just trying to
I think I was a shot, trying girls.
Trying to muddle through, and you know, it's just a bump and it'll all be fine. But I don't like fighting with my husband. It aggravates me. I don't like fighting with him about dumb shit.
Well,
so
if it helps, I'm sure you were in the wrong.
Yeah, anybody who's met Dave knows you have to, first of all, anybody who met you knows you have to be in the wrong. And secondly,
purple.
I don't even know how you get Dave to fight. What, you set him on fire or something and then say, God damn it, Dave, that's your fault? I don't know how you get mad.
No. He is a really nice guy. So you must have provoked
a lot
him
of experience and been around Dave quite a while. And I find him to be of a steady nature and steady temperament. And God damn it, what do we tell you? I predict him. Lanny, one word for you, devil, Lanny.
Well, you know, like what Straighten we were talking earlier, here's the thing, like what we were talking earlier before we started recording, you know, Lanny would have to be on my horizon because I can't make it on my own.
Well,
so, you know.
None of us can, really, on our own.
No, we can't. We decided
we're subsidized I don't even have a spouse. You guys at least have spouses.
We're subsidized by the kindness of others.
Yeah, but, strangers. Yeah.
Sometimes they're not that kind, to be honest.
Well, we decided we're going to have to buy a dweeb flop house because at any given moment, it looks like one of us might be needing a place to live.
Yes.
Again, that's your house.
My house?
Yes,
you haven't seen his wife.
You can come to my house, but my situation here is extremely fluid from day to day.
Day to day, hour to hour.
Minute to minute, yeah.
The longer, the further I get in life, the more and more Bitches Row seems to be a viable option for me. For those of us of a certain age and situation.
Chuck and I get really disturbed when you talk like that, Brandy, because we kind of depend on you as our last resort.
We don't want to put any additional pressure on you, devil.
Oh God!
But you are like you're like the only stability we got in our lives.
You're not much between us, but you're
what does that say? Yeah, I know. What does that say? Wait a minute. What does that say about you more than me?
Well, believe me, I know, but you ain't much, but y'all we got.
Exactly. Well,
you know what? I'll take it. Whatever. That's fine.
Apologize as much as you need to, because Chuck and I are dependent on you.
Go. You know what?
And buy him some flowers.
Get him some Cocoa Puffs. Don't get him Cocoa Puffs.
If you knew me at all, you know I'm not going to apologize. So,
I know.
You know, we'll see where this goes. I could be on Tim's doorstep tomorrow.
I have been on the other end of the barrel of the devil's temper. And it's not a pleasant thing. Poor guy, is he out of the corner yet? Is he just still cowering there? Like, what the fuck happened?
No, he's... Well,
I'm sorry.
Poor bastard.
We hope.
That's what I'm telling people.
That you get everything resolved. And then Dave's a wonderful person. And you're a wonderful person. I'm sure it will
work out. Dave's the wonderful person. She's the horrible person. It's like oil and water.
Sooner Chuck, the more you talk about this, the longer it's going to take for us to get to Chuck time.
You know what? Here's the thing. Wait a minute. No, so I put out, you know, I was feeling vulnerable last night. And so I put something out on the page and everybody was very sweet and, you know, whatever. But I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm going to have to apologize because, again, going back out into the dating world, as I have seen multiple of my friends do, who are much cuter and sweeter than I am, and they're having a hard time. And I'm like, who is going to want some fat 40-something chick that wants to lie around and watch murder shows all day with a slight addiction to, you know, coffee and Starbucks and podcasts and
We could always politics. Look up your old economics professor, Devil.
I cannot.
He got to be in the nursing home right now.
Exactly.
Lanny is out there.
I don't need that. Oh, yes. Well, my Lanny. Someday my Lanny will come. Someday I will meet my Lanny.
Well, I hope that never happens. I hope that you and Dave are able to reconcile because he's a wonderful guy. And you're a wonderful lady. And I'm sure you guys can work it out.
Devil, I will come over there today. We'll have a counseling session. We'll do a laying on of the hands, some praying. You know, some really intense praying.
Of all the things that I need, that's not even close to being.
Well, you know, he does in his capacity as reverend, he does some family counseling.
I do some marital counseling. Therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes,
he's very successful in his own marriage.
And I can.
I'm beginning to think I'm more successful in either of you in your relationships, and I'm divorced.
Here's the thing. I would rather go to President Trump for marriage counseling than go to Chuck.
Speaking of Chuck.
Hold on, Devil. I just want to say, you put up a thread last night, and rather than take a shot at you, I took my time and drew a nice picture and gave you a little virtual hug. Did you happen to see it?
I did see that, and it looks like you drew a wiener on me, and I didn't
No,
need that.
That was a tail, Devil. That was a tail. Well, what you holding a pitchfork?
Yeah. It still looks like a wiener.
See what people miss by not being active on our Facebook group.
I appreciate the sentiment.
Let me introduce the Colonel, a man who really needs no introduction. He's been called the most dangerous man in podcasting today. A man who is a problem solver, Brandy. He's been called an oasis.
Really?
And the desert of despair, the very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Jimmy.
Of course, he's not good.
What's wrong?
Good. You know what? You know what? You know why people call him an oasis? Because he's not real.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Well, Jimmy, you know, I like to take the world's most dangerous canine out.
Rudy. That would be our friend Rudy.
I picked up a log, kind of a big stick, and I threw it to me, and I once again tore a rotator cuff.
You're the only person who can throw a stick, play fetch, and get an injury.
Rudy, and I love how he's acting like, no, wait a minute. I love how you're acting like you like did one of those like telephone pole tosses like they do at Scottish festivals, and that's how you did it.
This thing stuck in the ground, yeah.
Which you know as well as I do that you picked up some old, like, piddly ass stick, yeah, like a twig, and threw it. And because you're old and your bones are brittle,
basically, I'm just an old man sitting around.
You should drink more milk, Eric Colonel. It's good for your bones.
Yeah. You are a year and a half from sitting on your porch, spitting tobacco, and bitching about the weather and traffic.
Well, now they're bringing me home almond milk, Timmy.
Almond
milk.
Well, that's.
I don't know. That makes me feel like one of the village people.
Noah's got to drink almond milk.
Well, it's one thing if you have to drink it, but when you choose to drink it, it's like going to AA meetings. It's cool if you just stopping in trying to meet the girls. But when you have to go, the court orders you to go. It's all different.
Well, yeah, it's not as meaningful.
Do you get vanilla or do you just get plain?
I don't know, but I know it tastes like it tastes like watered down something terrible.
Is this for your bones? Is that why you're eating that?
It's because Logan's a goddamn hippie. That's why.
Oh.
The other night I go to the store.
Is he drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon?
No, he drinks
Budweiser. He's drinking Schlitz.
Okay.
Schlitz.
Which brings me to another reason I'm not doing well. The other night I had to stop by. I had to pick up a prescription, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And
bones.
So yeah, so I send a text to Renee and she said, "Do you need anything? I'm going to a grocery store and I'm planning on just getting in and out of there." And she then includes Logan on the text and said, "Logan, your dad's at the store. Timmy, by the time I got out of there, I spent $180. They kept adding things. Give me some almond milk. Give me some Budweiser. Give me some of this. Get grapes. Get out.
It's expensive. Life's expensive.
Is expensive.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to do my taxes. I'm scared to death. Because, you know, the same people's taxes are all fucked up this year because of the tax bill. So,
yeah.
Well, life is expensive, which is why, again, we've covered that we need a flop house and we have to, you know. We need roommates.
Yeah.
We need roommates.
We need an opium den. Get an opium den. I'm there. I'll never leave. An opium den above a brothel would be perfect, but, you know, can't ask for everything, I guess.
You need to put that in your directive for your brother or for whoever, that during your final days, that's where you'd like to be.
Well, I'd like to be there now on my final days.
Well,
I would never leave.
I
would retire and go right into the opium den / brothel. I would never leave.
Well, I know, that's one of those things that you tend to want to do that towards the end when you've got nothing else to lose.
I'm pretty much there now.
No, because right now you've got a successful podcast and two people on the phone that don't want to see you dead necessarily because it's a mess. And, you know, I mean, you got people.
But just in case, we kind of need a succession plan for the podcast.
You really do. You need one.
I think you need
a monkey.
Chuck, I think you and I can carry on without him. I feel good.
Oh, we can carry on without him. It's just we just have to get somebody to do the scripts and do the
You got Jason. Jason will write your scripts for you.
That's true.
But Jason writes the scripts more than five pages to me.
He just uses larger fonts. That's all.
No, you know what? Because he can't see, we'll just be replacing one grumpy old man with another.
One grumpy old white man with another.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jason's got a cat waiting to eat him.
No, he's got his dog.
Oh, okay. That's how we're going to find you. They're going to come over and be like, Colonel, can you not identify the body? And there's only going to be like 3 pounds of you left.
All right. And then my cat's going to be standing on me or something.
Cat's going to be fat.
They go up to the face and penis first, Timmy.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Honolulu Strangler, shall we?
Yes.
Honolulu, Brandy, is the capital and largest city of the U.S. state of Hawaii. It's the main gateway.
No shit.
Main gateway to Hawaii and a major portal into the United States, especially from Asia. The city is a major hub of international business, military defense, as well as famously being host to a diverse variety of East and West and Pacific culture, cuisine, and traditions. A lot of Asians in Honolulu.
Is cuisine an Asian?
You know what? When I was there, it was cheaper for Japanese to fly to Hawaii to play golf than it was to pay the green fees to play golf in Japan.
No kidding.
Yeah. I don't know if that's still true. But it was at one point. Honolulu is a major financial center of the islands and on the Pacific Ocean. So the city has been the capital of the Hawaiian Islands since 1845. And, of course, it gained historical recognition following the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy, much like December 7th, 1964.
Just talking about that until 9/11. My birthday was the most infamous day in history until But
well, and people, you know, they were pissed about the cuisine. Maybe that's why they got bombed.
There were 400,000 residents, more than 400,000.
Kazine was the guy who answered the phone when I called about my computer not too long ago. Kazine. Sweet. I talked to Kazine.
That number, 400,000, does not reflect the thousands of tourists who visit the city and its beaches each year. Of course, that Waikiki Beach is in Florida. I got accosted by a prostitute at 6 in the morning in Waikiki one time. Fun times. As of 2015, Honolulu was ranked on a world livability rankings. It was high on the world's livability rankings and was ranked as the second safest city in the United States, Brandy. Now we're going to tell you how that statistic.
I don't know what the hell.
Yes, Brandy. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. So Dave got into watching this Buying Hawaii show.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it may have all the livability in the world. I get that. But they get these people on here that are like, you know, I'm a yoga instructor and he raises ferrets and our budget is, you know, $2.7 billion. Yeah. And for that, you get, well, we can go show you this house and it's kind of far out. You end up in a lava field where you have to catch rainwater, but you can't drink it. So you got to go in, you know, into city and all you have is a hot plate and a shack. That's what you get in Hawaii for $4 million or 2 point something. It's bullshit. Bullshit.
Yeah. I have a friend who.
But you know what else you get?
What?
Tulsi Gabbard, Timmy.
Yeah. She's lost her shine for me, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, there was she still a. Gives the Colonel action down I know in the groin section.
Well, what does Don Ho do for you, Brandy?
Not much. He plays the ukulele. I've heard he's a bit
don't
of a slut.
Don't go shame.
No, that's Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton. Yeah.
He's Tiny Bubbles, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Isn't anyway. He dead now?
I think he is. Wayne Newton is still alive.
Because I know he was an old hoe for a long time.
Dude, I saw Wayne Newton once in Vegas because we would, you know. It was like it was me and my ex and then like 700 gray haired, blue haired people. And he couldn't sing. He lost his voice. So he couldn't sing. And he asked all the veterans or military people who had family in the military to stand up. And, you know, it's probably like 400 people in this room. So probably 200 stand up. And he goes around and salutes them one by one. It took like 25 minutes of his show.
Jeez. Did you pay for that?
Yeah. I paid for it.
You got ripped.
Why? I know, but it was like paid to see Wayne Newton.
It was kind of like you know, something to do because he was in Vegas. It was just kind of
get married.
Something
get married by a Elvis impersonator.
Yeah. I was already Wayne. Married. I was married.
I always
time.
Thought that Didn't Wayne matter. Newton was just a poor man's Elvis. Anyway.
Mm. Anyway, back to Honolulu's first known serial killer, the Honolulu Strangler, was responsible for the murders of 5 women between 1985 and 1986. Man, that was a good year. That was fun times, mid-80s. And not necessarily these murders, but I'm saying.
Not for these people, but for us. They weren't
well, yeah. Yeah.
I was in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
Fifth grade.
Honolulu Strangler, strangely enough, was never captured. The 5 victims were found with their hands bound behind their backs, sexually assaulted, and strangled by the The strangled victims ranged in ages between 17 and 36 and came from very different walks of life. So we're going to tell you about these murders now.
That does not sound like hospitality to me.
Probably found them in a lava field.
Hmm. The first victim was Vicky Gail Purdy, Purdy. She was a 25-year-old young lady. She was married to Gary Purdy, Mr. Purdy.
Yes.
He was an American soldier based there in Honolulu. Vicky had been out clubbing in Waikiki on May 29th, 1985.
Now, when you say clubbing, was there any baby seals involved?
No,
in this,
I think she was out to the bars. I think.
She was at the club.
At the club.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
In 1985, she's probably dancing to that, you know, Salt and Pepper or somebody back then, wouldn't she, Brandy?
Again, fifth grade, I don't know. Probably.
Vicky was from North Carolina, and she was headstrong, Colonel.
They all are, Timmy. They all are.
Honolulu detectives discovered that Vicky was known to go to nightclubs with friends without the company of her husband, Gary.
Well, duh.
Well, I'm not putting any, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that that's
why you want to drag. No, that's why would you want to drag him to the club? I get it.
Why would you be at the club without your husband?
Well,
oh,
yeah,
so many, because you had a fight over something dumb and you needed to leave the house. And so you did. And then you went to the club.
You know, on the night
of
the
kid
murder,
with your mom,
on the night of her murder, it was a Wednesday night.
Oh, that's a bad night to go.
Oh, a week
club.
Night.
Yeah,
it's a
Gary,
week night.
Gary had expected Vicky to be in by 9 o'clock that night after dancing at a nightclub in Waikiki.
That's not much of a club if you're in by 9.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That might be unrealistic on Gary's part.
I feel like it is. Yeah.
When Vicky failed to come home at all that night, Gary relentlessly paged his wife. So this is back when they had pagers.
Pagers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you had pagers, Timmy, and you had codes?
Yeah.
Did you have codes for things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what was it? What was I Love You? 1, 4, 3 or
four,
something.
4, 3,
like that.
Yeah. Right. That was, so, you know, I know that Sarah and her mother used to exchange that, but I never got that one on my page. To me,
I'm sorry, Colonel.
Wonder why.
3, 4, 1 a lot, but I wonder what that. I'm not sure what that meant.
Go to hell.
I think it was just somebody dyslexic saying that. I mean,
When his wife failed to come home that night, or failed to respond to his page, Gary contacted his local authorities. He contacted 5-0, Brandy.
As one should. When your page doesn't get answered, yeah, you need to get 5-0 involved.
Get 5-0.
Get the fuzz.
Po-po. Get the po-po out there. An investigation revealed that Vicky had last been seen alive by a taxi driver who drove her to the Shorebird Hotel at midnight.
Not 9 o'clock.
Apparently to retrieve her automobile. Oh, I don't know. That just sounds kind of sketchy to me. But anyway, Vicky's car.
First of all, you guys haven't clearly been clubbing in a while. You always try and park. You park somewhere where you don't have to pay for parking, and then you take a cab to the club. And that way you don't have to worry about where to park down there and pay for all that. And then you take a cab. Please, it doesn't have to mean anything nefarious. It is, however, at midnight, which is well past the 9 o'clock curfew, that Mr. Purdy.
I'm just saying there's probably a lot of nefarious things going on at this Shorebird Hotel. That's all I'm saying. Maybe not with Vicky. I'm just saying at the Shorebird. I'm sure it's very nice. I'm sure it's a very nice hotel, but I'm guessing there's fornication going on there at some point.
Seedy fornication, Timmy. Seedy fornication.
Not saying that Vicky was fornication involved with
amongst,
that. I'm saying
other fornication people. Amongst people who shouldn't be fornicating with other people.
Or should be. I mean,
or should be.
Fornication going on there. You don't go to the Shorebird unless you want to fornicate. That's my thought on it anyway, Brandy. You might think differently.
I feel like you're against all forms of fornication. And
you see, as you got older,
that troubles me, Tim.
It does. You've gone from when I first met you, you kind of limited yourself to a certain few things and. Now that seems like it's getting narrower and narrower. Now you're about to join the anti-fornication league. You're going to be up there with the cheese people.
AFL.
The AFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the CIO. That's a whole other thing. Vicky's car was later found in the hotel parking lot. Vicky's body was found on the morning of May 30th, 1985. That would have been Memorial Day, I think, Brandy, or close to it. And the corpse was located on an embankment near the Kihi Lagoon. Vicky's killer had bound her hands behind her back, raped her, and then strangled her. Police conducted a detailed investigation, interviewing Gary, the taxi driver, and many of Vicky's friends and co-workers. One of the first angles pursued by investigators concerning the murder of Vicky Gale Purdy was the, well, I mean, you know, I'm going to fuck up all these names because they're Hawaiian names.
That's why I've been waiting for these.
Wahiawa? Video rental store. Oh, it was a video rental store. So, Gale Purdy had long objected to his wife's place of work. He didn't like her working at the video rental store because they were known to sell and rent pornographic films.
Why don't you call it just bootleg Blockbuster? That'll be easier for you.
So they sold porn movies such as Your Friend My Enema. Movies such as, what other ones, Colonel, that you would comes to mind for you?
Spankenstein.
Spankenstein.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Lord of the O-rings.
O-rings. I got O-rings in my car.
A lot of different videos they sold there.
They did.
Lord of the Cochrane, either one of those.
Yeah.
The store had already seen deadly violence in the past. In December 1984, which is, you know, less than a year before this, two women, a co-worker and a co-owner of the store, were stabbed to death. That gruesome case, however, has never been tied to the murder of Vicky Purdy. After several months, the investigation of the Vicky's death came to a dead end.
Hey, Timmy,
no pun intended there.
Yeah, how'd you like to be working at the video store? The little thing comes being, he's looking around, and you can't. It's not like you say, you know, I want to see Lord of the Rings, you know, or you got to go out and talk to the customer, and they're like, yeah, I've been hearing good things about Schindler's Fist. Do you have that one? Or, you know, Die Hard, I don't know.
You know what? I think you can tell your porn customers when they walk in. I think
they're wearing a raincoat and sunglasses.
And this is when the sequels get you into trouble, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
When you start out with Ocean's 11 inches. And now you got to go up to Ocean's 12 inches, Ocean's 13 inches.
Yeah. You're really setting the bar high. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
looking for the Sperminator. Do you have that one, please?
A 17-year-old high school student was the strangler's next victim. Regina Sakamoto missed her bus on the morning of January 14, 1986, and she called her boyfriend at 7:15 a.m. to tell him that she would be late. During the brief conversation with her boyfriend, Regina said that she would be late and she would not catch her usual bus. She then went missing for a month. And then on in February of 1986, her dead body was found near what do you call it, Brandy?
Kihi
Lagoon. Investigators discovered Regina had been raped and strangled just like Vicky Purdy. And like Vicky, Regina's killer had tied her hands behind her back. Regina was small and petite like Vicky, although at 4'11 and weighing 105 pounds, she was small. She was noticeably shorter and thinner than Vicky. Regina was also a Hawaii transplant who had been born in Kansas. Her Japanese...
Now, you know you've seen this one, Devil, Romancing the Bone.
That's a classic.
I got it on Beta.
That's a classic.
Batman in Robin.
And no, that's a different genre than I would watch.
And I believe this one won an Oscar, Timmy. Sorest Rump.
Regina's Japanese surname came from her stepfather, who was a military serviceman named Maurice Sakamoto. That's a very American first name, though, isn't it?
Maurice. Maurice.
Yeah.
Maurice?
It's like a BG. Speaking of BGs, Colonel.
It is like a BG.
Yeah.
Speaking of BGs, exactly, Colonel.
You can't be dancing.
Thank you, Colonel.
Perfect.
Brandy, his Bee Gees impersonations are well received by all.
Oh, it's spot on.
Mm-hmm. They're not. They're not at all.
By all accounts, Regina was a shy and quiet girl. Well, she had a boyfriend. She couldn't have been too shy.
Dichard, Timmy. Dichard.
What's the name, Colonel?
Dichard. Or driving into Miss Daisy, Timmy.
Regina was a shy and quiet girl who planned on attending the University of Hawaii that fall. The second case led police to suspect the same killer, well, duh, was responsible.
They're on top of it.
Both murders due to the identical MO. The discovery of Regina Sakamoto's corpse convinced homicide detectives in Honolulu that their city was home to an unidentified serial killer.
Now, Brandy, their shit.
Brandy is going to tell us about the other murders.
Now, Devil, do you like musicals?
Sure.
I know you like the occasional Breast Side Story, Timmy.
That's a classic.
I feel like it's one of your favorites.
Free My Willy?
That's a classic. Continue, Brandy.
So, first of all, the killer's first two victims had both been raped and strangled. And second, the killer had bound their hands, both of them. In both instances, the women had died with their hands secured behind their backs. It was also the importance of the Kihei Lagoon. There was also the importance of Kihei Lagoon. Oahu residents and tourists alike know the lagoon as part of an urban beach park. The lagoon has easy access to the Pacific Ocean and is dotted here and there with tiny islands. This was the killer's preferred dumping ground. And in the case of Honolulu in the 1980s, the Kihei Lagoon Park was about as secluded as it got.
In Diana Jones and the Temple of Poon.
Jesus, God.
That one does not get the accolades that it should, because that
it does. It does not. And you remember the Kevin Spacey movie American Booty?
That was good, Brandy. You have to admit that was a good movie.
I feel like that's his life story.
And for the geeks out there, the Star Wars series.
Mm-hmm. Star Wars.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. So, just 2 weeks later, on January 30th, 21-year-old Denise Hughes, a secretary for a telephone company who commuted by bus, did not show up for work. Like Regina, Denise used Honolulu's bus system to get around, and it's likely that Denise met her killer on one of those buses. Three fishermen eventually found Hughes' corpse on February 1st, 1986. Rather than the Kihei Lagoon, Hughes' killer had left her body near the Moanalua stream. Nalua?
That's close enough.
Whatever.
Moanalua stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was not the only change to the killer's modus operandi. The three young fishermen initially found Hughes' body wrapped in a blue tarp.
An officer and his gentleman.
Again.
Classic.
Different genre. Although Hughes' corpse was badly decomposed by the time it was found, homicide investigators quickly discerned the fact that her hands had been bound prior to her death, and that she'd been strangled.
They're sharp. Did we ever decide if Brian Keith and David Keith were related?
I don't believe they are.
I mean, you have the singer, right? What's the singer's name? The singer, not Brian Keith. What's the singer's name? The country
Toby
singer.
Keith.
Toby Keith. Is Toby Keith and the David Keith, the guy that played in The Officer and the Gentleman, are they related?
Hold on, Billy, the intern. I got an intern here right now.
Okay.
Let me get
by
him
the way,
on
we're
that.
Recruiting History Dweeb's interns. You can
we
help
are.
Us
we are.
With the show.
Help us produce the show. If you're interested, just come to our Facebook page and express your interest. And
wait a minute.
We prefer women with big breasts, Colonel. Is that safe to say?
That's we don't.
Wait a minute.
We were not discriminate if you have smaller breasts, but if you had big breasts, that's a plus.
Hold on,
Colonel.
How are we going to drag somebody else into this clusterfuck here? We can't even get Chuck here on time.
Well, we need someone to do this secondary research. Like things come up during the podcast. Did you find out where Toby Keith and David?
They're not related to me.
Well, they look alike, and they're both from Oklahoma.
They do look alike, yeah, but they're not a lot like it all.
Well,
for those that listen down under, Crocodile Dundee, Timmy.
Colonel, is that guy's name David Keith? Is that his name that was in Officer and the Gentleman?
Yes.
What's it? All right. Can you tell me?
He was related to Brian Keith.
Well, where is he from originally?
He's from Oklahoma.
Okay. And Toby Keith is from Oklahoma. They have to be related. They have to be related. Look up Toby Keith.
Really? Because everybody with the last name Keith in Oklahoma.
Well, they look alike.
And get on fucking Ancestry.com.
Wait a minute.
Look these motherfuckers up. I don't know.
We need the intern. We need the big breast intern.
But here's the bigger question. Who gives a fuck? That's the burning question.
It's this trivial stuff that comes up in the podcast is why people tune in to listen.
I don't know how it came up. Do we have somebody named Keith in here? No, you.
The colonel mentioned Officer and the Gentleman. Mm-hmm. The co-star of that movie with Richard Gere was Debbie Winger, and they also his male co-star
Debbie.
In the movie was
Deborah,
whatever.
Now.
The male co-star in that movie, I believe his name is David Keith or Brian Keith. Check it out, Colonel. Let me know what his name is.
I will. Now you remember the Kevin Costner classic?
Not later.
I'm looking it up right now. I got my intern on that right now.
We need a big breast intern.
You remember a Kevin Costner classic, Robin Hood, The Prince of Thieves, Tim?
Look us up.
Can we move
I'll look it up, Brandy. You talk. I'll look it up.
Oh, perfect. I'm so excited.
Lord of the G-Strings.
Oh.
He went something done right.
Following the discovery.
David Keith was the guy's name. David Keith. He's from Oklahoma. Toby Keith. Country singer is from Oklahoma. Coincidence? I think not.
Well, thank you, baby Jesus, that we found that out.
Well, we need a big-breasted intern who can look this stuff up. They look alike.
Against bringing anybody else into this dysfunction.
Okay, he was born on May 8th. Almost on my birth. Look at
as
David
much
Keith.
As I hate to say it, the devil's got a point. If
Colonel,
we
he
family,
was born in Tennessee. He wasn't born
a foster child.
Jesus Christ! He was born in Nashville. He wasn't born in Oklahoma.
If we were a family, a rescue place wouldn't even allow us three to get a puppy together.
Why did you tell me he was born in Oklahoma? He was
because
born in Tennessee.
Like, wait a minute! I ain't a goddamn researcher.
In fact, I feel like if we walked in,
wouldn't even have known.
If we walked into some place to get a dog, all three of us together, they may call the police on us.
Yeah, they would ask would escort us out.
Yes. So, following the discovery of Hughes's corpse, Hawaii 5-0, then headed by Major Chester Hughes, no relation to Denise,
Chester
decided to form. Denise Hughes was one of the first victims there.
Oh, okay.
Why would anyone name their kid Chester? I mean, really. You know he's going to walk with a limp. No one gets that.
Yes.
Colonel, no one gets that. Me and you are the only one that gets that.
We do.
But no one else.
So Chester decided.
God damn it.
He's old.
Chester decided to form a serial killer task force under the umbrella of the department's criminal investigation division.
I think we should form a serial killer task force. And we don't even need a serial killer. I mean, why wait?
Yeah. We got to get out ahead of this, Timmy.
Exactly.
If we can get out ahead of it, it's like we could be serial killer vaccination, Timmy.
An ounce of prevention, Brandy.
Yeah.
Again, this implies some sort of organization. And when we can get Chuck, when we can get Chuck out of his trailer on time to show up or anything, we'll see about forming some kind of task force. I don't know why he told me that
David Keith was born in Oklahoma.
We could be serial killer prophylactics, Timmy.
He's got a point, Brandy.
The task force was immediately pitted against massive odds. By 1986, Oahu was the center of a telecommunications boom that attracted thousands of migrant workers. They should have built a wall. Hawaii was also home to a huge military population.
Please send your email.
I know.
Brandy, do you know the colonel once was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize just for sexting?
I was.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy? Devil.
It was poetry.
You know what? He's more likely to get that than to ever get a prize from work. So,
yeah, you know. That's true.
He is so debonair, Brandy, that he uses a generous portion of Brill Cream on his pubic hair.
You got to get that part just right, Timmy.
Mm.
Are you a Dapper Dan man?
Sometimes I do the alfalfa. Sometimes they get a mullet down there, Timmy.
All right, so
it's already in the front, business in the back. No business in the back for me anyway.
Oh, I think you got it right the first time. So there's a huge military population there, with the Army, Navy, and the Marine Corps having installations all over. Also, between 85 and 86, 10.5 million people visited Hawaii as tourists. So finding the killer was going to be very difficult, and it could have come from any of these populations.
He once was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for starting a war, Brandy.
Yeah, it was.
Again,
it could have been a big war. It was a necessary war.
Again, more likely to get that. More likely to get that than a rock star award. The Hawaii.
Now this is going back a while. You remember the Dustin Hoffman classic, the divorce movie, Kramer versus Kramer, Timmy?
Yes, I remember that.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Crocodile Dundee.
So they.
You know, he had sex with crocodiles, Brandy.
No, that's not easy.
You got to be careful. Yeah.
He did manage.
They love it. They love it. You can get the chlamydia from them. You can get chlamydia from
testicle.
You can get chlamydia from alligators, Colonel.
Goddamn right you can.
Sluts.
Okay. The Hawaii Police Department did manage to create a profile of the Honolulu Strangler during this time. And according to the profile, the killer was an opportunist who attacked women who frequented vulnerable spots like bus stops. They called in the what the fuck?
I guess he bound their hands. This is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Strangle them.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
And threw them in the Lehi-Leahoko Lagoon. That's my guess.
Well, you know, my guess is...
Kihee Lagoon.
Hey, man, he's a loner.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's started out with small animals. He wet the bed and set fire to his parents' shed. I mean, what the hell? And he, you know, and he kept their hands bound so they wouldn't fight back. Who the fuck makes this profile?
It's the 5-0. They don't have a lot of crime over there in Hawaii.
It's Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, it's Hawaii 5-0. The Popo.
Yes.
What's that guy? McGarrett. That was his name.
Book him, Dano, motherfucker. Yeah. Book him.
Yeah.
The killer
did
not.
I wish he just looked once. And Dano was always like, okay.
Yeah, Dano, man.
I just wanted to be like, fuck you. You.
And it was like, McGarrett was like a sergeant. He wasn't even like a fucking captain or anything. He was just a sergeant. Dano must have been just like, you know, fucking. He must have been really low in the totem pole.
And very Dano always had this look
a
like,
sergeant
yeah,
to go around. Book him, Dano.
You know Dano was hitting guys
McGarrett didn't want to do any paperwork, you know? It's like he makes Dano book him all the time because he didn't want to fucking fill out
the form. Look on his face, you could see the little look Dano got like, I'm going to whip this sumbitch's ass on the way to the station.
And this motherfucker's a sergeant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. So the killer did not stalk his victims before killing them.
Book him, Dan. Dude, where's my dildo?
That was a classic.
Yeah, it was.
That was a comedy.
And given the locations of the dumping sites, investigators theorized that he lived somewhere near Waipahu or Sand Island.
And Timmy, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he lives somewhere on Wahoo.
Yeah. Timmy, you know this is going to be us one day.
Huh?
You know this is going to be us one day. Fatal erection, Timmy.
That was a good movie. That had you on the edge of your seat there, Colonel.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. On the edge of Sharon Stone's seat.
Yeah, who was the other one? Who else played in that movie?
Michael Douglas. That's before.
Yeah, I know Michael Douglas. I mean the who was the psycho lady?
That was Glenn Close.
Glenn Close, yeah.
Yeah.
And Ann Archer was the wife.
Yeah. I liked Ann Archer. I always did.
Michael Douglas, he gets some tail. You know, he got the throat cancer from, you know, going downtown, Brandy.
Funny language. Yeah. He got it from funny language, didn't
he? You're at high risk if you go down on a woman four times, four different partners, Colonel. Four times, Timmy.
Four times.
Fucking good weekend.
that's just before the Domino's guy gets there.
Every time I hear this is bad, Brandy, but every time I hear about a guy getting throat cancer, I kind of giggle because you know what? You know he got it. You know how he got it?
Not necessarily.
Oh, yes. They'll say, oh, it's smoking. But you know what it is? It's that dangerous vagina.
It's that girl. HPV. It's the killer. It's, yeah.
Killer vagina. Cancerous vagina.
Killer clam, too.
Mm-hmm. Got to be careful.
You do got to be careful.
Women don't get it. Men get it.
Women get it.
We put our lives on the line to give you guys pleasure.
Yeah. And do you know, does anybody ever stop me and say thank you for your service?
One time, I would just like one time a woman to say thank you. You don't have to, you know what? You don't have to have a parade. You don't have to buy me a cake. I would prefer you just say thank you and go on about your business.
Exactly. Exactly. Or quit stealing my wallet.
Has any woman ever thanked you, Colonel?
I can't recall any woman ever talking. Women are an ungrateful bunch. To me, they're an ungrateful bunch.
We put our lives on the line.
Yeah.
Going downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And women just kind of expect that now. So it used to be you do that, and then you were like, oh, my God, no one's ever done that before. You're the greatest in the world. Now they fucking expect it, Brandy.
Oh, it's gotten to be like the internet, Timmy, and Wi-Fi. It's just something they expect when they walk into a room.
Yeah. Like, I don't have to go down on everyone.
There's no cunnilingus? No. Like, what?
It's almost a
to connect.
It's an expectation, and it shouldn't be. Yeah. That's a treat, Brandy. That's like on your birthday.
Yeah.
Like Valentine's Anniversary. Day. Yeah.
Not Valentine's Day. That's a Hallmark holiday to me.
Not every birthday. Not every single month.
Yeah.
Come on, Brandy. You have to get your people together. Continue, please.
See, that's probably why you and Dave were fighting. Your expectations are out of whack, devil.
You're putting him at risk for throat cancer.
Well, I don't know if it was that particular thing. I just noticed she's demanding, and her expectations are, like all women, Timmy, like all women, the expectations are just too goddamn high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. They expect us to pick up after ourselves. And
Yeah. As I say to people in my house, when's the last time somebody broke in here and killed you? Well, then I've been doing my job. Shut the hell up.
He's got a point, yeah. Randy.
You know, you say that at work, too, and nobody buys it there either.
But why is it, Randy, that women...
Nobody appreciates anything.
That oral sex has become almost expected by women of your gender.
I don't know that is entirely true. And I don't think that's accurate. Yeah.
Why do you like your hair pulled, devil?
Oh,
I never really got that.
Can
I choked.
Just,
I don't get that one either.
Can I just get through this?
This is just stuff that men listening want to know. What is it about getting your hair pulled that turns you on so much?
So anyway.
See, you're not going to give a good PSA for the men out there.
No, that wasn't a good PSA, Brandy.
Not in regards.
Now they're sitting around with the less you know.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Let me also say that my youngest child is sitting about 20 feet from me. He's got his headphones on and everything, so I'm sure he missed the bulk of it. But he can't hear you. I'm sure he can hear the bulk of it, but or not hear the bulk of it. But you know, should I say something, that would be what he would hear.
Okay, that's well, then continue with the story.
And then, you know, he'd be at school the next day saying, Mommy likes a hair pulled.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't like it when Mommy chokes me, but she likes it when Daddy chokes her.
Yeah, it would be a whole thing.
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about Louise Medeiros.
Jurassic Pork, Timmy. Jurassic Pork.
That was filmed in Hawaii.
She was just 25 when she was murdered by the Honolulu Strangler. On March 26, 1986, she boarded a red-eye flight to Oahu. From there, Louise told her family that she planned to take a bus to Waipahu, in order to meet them following the tragic death of her mother. Aww. Louise was last seen alive leaving the plane after it landed in Honolulu. Her body was found by construction workers on April 2nd near the Waikili Stream. Like the other four victims, Louise's body was found partially clothed.
So she's victim number five.
Yeah. So the killer evidently always removed the pants and undergarments and left his victims nude from the waist down. Louise had also had her hands tied behind her back, and she'd been sexually assaulted and strangled. Yeah. So they put together that this could be the same guy. In order to catch the killer, Hawaii 5-0 began sending their female officers undercover to the Honolulu International Airport and to Kihei Lagoon.
Yeah, that's the job I want to volunteer for, yeah.
Right. So they were putting them on the buses because Most, I mean, a lot of them happen on the buses, right?
Well, happened when they were getting on the buses, yeah. Mm-hmm. By now, it was clear that the killer favored out-of-town victims or those with limited connections to Hawaii. Regina Sakamoto was the Honolulu Strangler's youngest victim. The killer's last known victim was Linda Peace, and that was his oldest victim. She died at the age of 36. The last person to see Linda alive was her roommate, who told police that Linda had left home on the morning of April 29th, 1986, heading to her job a few miles away. The next morning, the roommate was told that Linda had failed to show up for work and that her car had been found parked near a viaduct on Route 92, Interstate H1. It was at this point that Linda was reported missing. The case took a strange twist when a man named Howard Gay, age 43, told police that a psychic had informed him that Linda's body was located on Sand Island. On May 3rd, the man took investigators to one spot on the island, but Linda's body surprisingly wasn't there. But actually, it was later uncovered someplace else on Sand Island. So he wasn't so far off. But
I wonder how often psychics are right. Because, you know, they had a guy disappear here in Kentucky a couple years ago. And they called in a psychic, and she actually found him.
Well, she got Sand Island right.
Right.
So
there you go, Timmy.
That always makes me suspect when, you know, someone shows up and says, "Hey, I know where the murderer is."
Yeah, that seems sketchy.
Or the body.
That is.
Yeah.
That does seem sketchy.
But this one in Kentucky, they contacted a psychic. So she wasn't involved with the case before. And they contacted her, and she told him basically where the body was, and the body was there. So,
jeez. Here's one for my kind of geeky friends, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Lord of the G-Strings, Dildo Sagans and the Throbbit.
Do you have that on DVD, Brandy?
I don't think so.
Blu-ray?
I have not. No. Beta.
Beta. Yeah. You know Beta was good.
I'm sort of a Beta in a VHS world, Brandy.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
So, Linda, like the others, had been strangled, and police had found her naked and with her hands tied behind her back.
So, okay, so that meets the MO, right?
It seems like a pattern. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm sensing a pattern. Following Linda's murder, the 27-man Hawaii 50 task force began setting up roadblocks all over the city.
Book 'em, Dano.
The goal of the roadblocks was to stop and question citizens about the murders.
But Garrett had a lot of fucking nerves, Colonel.
Oh, he was a ballsy son of a bitch. And lazy. I think he had a side piece somewhere. He's like, book him, Dano. I'll be back in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Dano do all the fucking work.
Yeah, and then, you know, when McGarrett got there, she was like, do the deed. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Steve McGarrett, he thought he was hot shit.
He did think he was hot shit. He always had these little sage words of advice for Dano. And, you know, I think through 12 seasons or whatever, Dano never said a fucking word the whole thing.
He never got promoted, that's for sure. He just had a fucking book. He had to do all the paperwork.
Slacker. You know what always got me, Timmy? Was it, Dano was like Biff on Mutual of Omaha, Wild Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You he know, did like all the Marlon work. Perkins would be up back like, yeah, I'm in the hotel watching this tiger from the binoculars, and Biff is gonna go up and squeeze his balls, you know, and we're gonna film that. And tigers, you know, tigers don't like to have the ball squeezed, as most animals don't. And Marlon would be all like talking, like building up the suspense, like he was in danger.
Yeah, he was back in the studio in New York.
Yeah, he's back in the studio watching this. Biff is satellite,
the Serengeti or someplace.
Yeah, but Biff comes out looking like his clothes look like Fred Flintstone, all shredded up and ragged at the end. And I never liked Marlon Perkins. So Dano was the Biff for the police force.
Yeah, Marlon Perkins and Steve McGarrett, kind of the same. Slackers, Brandy.
slackers.
Are you two old motherfuckers?
And he's a fucking sergeant. That's what gets me. But he doesn't like he wasn't
a captain or something.
Inspector or something. Yeah. He was a fucking sergeant. Not that we have anything against sergeants. They do a fine job, but just saying he wasn't really a high ranking officer.
Way up there on the totem pole.
Right. Dano wasn't. Yeah. I mean, Dano was a fucking.
Are we good?
It just seemed Dano wasn't on a good career path. He wasn't.
No, he wasn't, man. He had to do the paperwork every fucking time.
Yeah, and that's before they had computers. You had the carbon paper. You had to fill it up.
Yeah, you know that the old copying machines where you had to, with the crank.
Had the roller. Yeah, you had to use whiteout all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are mimeograph machines. That's probably why he did it, so he could sniff the mimeograph ink. He just sat there high all the time.
You know, one of your staff, Devil, walked into me the other day, walked into my office and said, would you have any whiteout? And you know what I said?
Yeah, I know.
I said,
Do
I look like the kind of person that makes mistakes? Why would I?
Does this look like 1975?
I just said, I don't even know what that is because I don't make mistakes.
No, she kind of rolled her eyes at you and walked out. She doesn't like you.
Continue, Brandon.
Right.
She does not.
So they set up these roadblocks, and it was kind of stop and question the citizens about the murders. And one of the people they questioned at a roadblock said they saw a white or mixed race man driving Geese's car. And on May 9th, Honolulu officers made their first arrest.
Ooh.
They slapped handcuffs on the unnamed informant who had led them to Linda's corpse.
Yeah, see, the guy that said that her body was on Sand Island, that's a red flag, Brandy.
Mm. Well, the suspect's girlfriend, then told the men that the man was a smooth talker. Who had an interest in sexual bondage.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Smooth talker, interested in sexual bondage. He did it.
He was a smooth talker.
The ex-wife of this guy said the suspect often had sex with her after tying her hands behind her back.
They were kinky, Colonel.
Mm, they were a freaky couple.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that thing on the page where the people put the house up for sale and they had all the bondage equipment in there?
Oh, that's a nice feature, really.
Oh, I mean, they had some hardcore stuff. It looked like somebody built a playset inside the house.
Mm. Well, but you know, it'd be nice if the house came equipped instead of me having to go move all, you know, get all
my stuff. I bet this Geese guy went to that shore. He was not a stranger to the Shorebird Hotel.
No, he was not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 4 hours, $12.99.
Mm-hmm.
So, other facts made this guy a viable suspect because the ex-wife, which I think if it's the ex-wife, you kind of have to, it sounds sketchy. But
take it with a grain of salt.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he did go to the police and tell him where the fucking body was. I mean,
yeah, but people are crazy that way. But the ex said,
you won't get ruled out by doing that. You know what I mean? If you're like, if you did it and you're like, oh, I'll go tell them where the body is and they will never suspect me then. I mean, I don't think that's how it works, but what do I know? I'm not a law enforcement officer.
He took him to the wrong spot, so he's not very good.
Yeah, but she was still on the island. So,
well, but the ex-wife said that each murder coincided with a domestic dispute between the couple. Wait a minute. Yeah, so the ex-wife is saying that they had domestic disputes. The girlfriend is saying he's a smooth talker.
Some men just go to the bar and knock back a few and get a little bit mad.
He's a smooth talker.
Yeah.
Get you at the old Shorebird Hotel.
Yeah. Chuck, it's the Shorebird. You're making it sound like Sherbert.
Shorebird Hotel. Give me Neapolitan.
Right.
Continue, Brandy.
Rainbow Sherbert.
Well, no.
Chuck, is it Sherbert or Sherbert?
Chuck's going to tell us.
Oh, yes. Tell us what happens next, Colonel.
Okay. I will do that, Timmy.
We need a big-breasted intern. That's what I'm saying.
Well, during these fights, he would leave the house and not come back again until the next morning or during the hours of the night, Timmy.
He was going to the Sherbert Hotel.
Now, the suspect, and this is what you got to watch out for, Devil. He also worked as a mechanic near Lagoon Drive.
He knew how to use his tools.
Yes, he did on Ewa Beach.
Why do I have to be careful?
Because you're going to end up with Lanny, and he's a mechanic, too. We don't want you.
Well, he's a part-time mechanic. He works mostly.
Well, he's not really a mechanic. You know, mostly, he's the guy who fills up the windshield washer fluid.
Can you imagine somebody trying to kidnap me? Really? Really?
You got to be careful.
First of all, yeah, you take a SWAT team. And then, once you...
I had an employee that was almost abducted yesterday. Seriously.
Did you really?
Who? Mm-hmm. I don't want to say her name. She works for a partnering agency.
A partnering agency.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, some guy tried to abduct her yesterday in broad daylight.
No kidding.
Yeah, she called the police and they didn't want to take her report.
Strangely, to me, not to be a downer, but I had a person that hit a tree in front of me the other day, Timmy.
They hit a tree?
On the way to my MRI, yeah, they hit a tree.
They were trying to hit you and missed.
They were they were coming right toward me.
Maybe they're trying to have you put your little, you know, sore arm in perspective, Colonel.
Well, I'll tell you what, it didn't do me no good because they hit the tree and the tree exploded into a million parts, covered up the road. No, we had to get out of the car and move the logs so the life squad and everybody could get to it.
Dude, I was walking toward my bus stop the other day across Central Parkway where we work. And this car ran a red light, hits this other car, spins it around, and they keep going.
Right? Yeah, they don't want to stop.
It's like
a dangerous neighborhood.
It's like Grand Theft Auto. I mean, they keep going. Well, apparently the car had hit. They didn't want to stick around for the police either. I don't know why. Maybe they, I don't know if they have warrants out on them, but whatever. They weren't going to stick around. Their wheel was all bent and it was like bent sideways. And they tried to leave the scene of the accident and they were going like, you know, one mile per hour.
Look like
down the street.
Look like Chester for gum smoke, Timmy. Just rup.
Yeah. It was funny.
Jesus.
No, the person that hit me, they tumbled like four times. Did that big one, you know, bloop, bloop, bloop. I thought they were going to land on my car, Timmy.
Did they get hurt? Were they hurt?
They got killed, so I don't know how much it hurt, Timmy.
Oh, okay. Did they really die?
Yeah, they really did die. It was a horrific.
Kind of makes you put things in perspective, doesn't it, Brandy? Like, as you're on your way to the hospital for your sore arm.
Timmy, you know what? It kind of rattled me a little bit. When I got to the hospital, my heart.
How many fatal accidents have you witnessed in your life? Isn't this like the seventh one?
There's been three times in my life that I have been the first person upon a scene of an accident where people were killed.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't
You are a harbinger of death. You really are.
It's not fun. It is not fun.
All right. No, continue with the story. Yeah, continue with the story.
Well, anyway, where was I?
You were talking about the beginning.
So they suspected a mechanic. So that will try to go shoot a little high for the mechanic when you're living in the flop house, okay? Now, amazing, this man was let go by Honolulu detectives, even after he failed a polygraph exam. But police followed the suspect and put out a $25,000 reward for information that was put out by private businesses. Now, 2 months after the suspect's arrest, a woman came forward claiming that she saw Linda Pesci with a man on the night of the murder. The witness successfully picks this man out of a photo lineup. The police figured they had found their killer, but due to circumstantial evidence, the unidentified suspect was never charged. Rumor has it that the suspect actually got off on a technicality, moved to California shortly after his release, and died in 2005. But in May, not 2018, Timmy.
That was just last year.
The television show Breaking Homicide revisited the whole strangler thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they named a new suspect, Timmy, Howard Gay.
Okay.
The term new is a stretch here because gay as the man who led police to Pesci's body back in the
Yeah, Brandy, I got it. I mean, he might. I mean, he's presumed innocent, but come on.
And Gay worked as a mechanic at one of the air freight companies along Lagoon Drive. In one episode, the former prosecutor, Pete Carlisle, all but admitted that Gay was the primary and really only suspect. And according to Carlisle, police lacked enough evidence against Gay, and had the Hawaii Police Department had access to DNA testing in 86, Gay would have been easily convicted. However, prosecutors did not have enough compelling evidence at the time to file charges against Gay, despite circumstantial evidence linking Gay to the murders. He should be considered innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, they don't.
Except
I mean,
for he should be considered.
I'm against that.
Until a
yeah, but he's. I mean, if they had if they had enough evidence against him, they would have brought charges. Apparently, they don't.
I know
he's an innocent.
You know,
he's innocent.
I recognize
they
the whole
DNA evidence.
Probably not. Not
well.
The
besides 80s. Gay, there were some other suspects, including a Honolulu policeman. But as with the case with Gay, there's not enough evidence for prosecutors to file charges. And the show's investigator also suggested the Honolulu Strangler may have killed 19-year-old Lisa Al in 1982. She was last seen alive after midnight in 82. Her car was found on Capicuari Road.
I don't think that's related, because that was like, what, three, four years before these other murders. And he seemed to like he was like a spree. I mean, because all of these happened within a short, relatively short period of time. So,
right.
I think they might be, it might be a stretch. But I mean, who knows? It could be. But
well, 10 days later, on January 31st, 82, a jogger found her new body decomposing on Tantalus Lookout in Waikiki. Now, police were never able to officially list her cause of death. Now, to this day, Timmy, no one has been charged or convicted in these five gruesome murders, despite the dead-end investigation, Timmy. Police are still optimistic that someday the Honolulu Strangler, much like the Zodiac Killer, will be brought to justice.
Well, thank you, Colonel. Brandy, what's your final thoughts on the Honolulu Strangler?
I think it was the gay guy.
Well, first of all, he's not the gay guy. His last name was Gay.
Well, why would they call him gay?
Well, he has to be presumed innocent. There's not enough. They don't have enough evidence to.
See, you know what? I don't like to do that. I just presume that everybody's guilty until I decide they're not.
I think you're guilty and then work yourself backwards.
Yeah, you think you're guilty until proven innocent.
Well, you know, Devil,
it's just until I decide they're not.
You have raised children. Tell me the last time you presumed one of your kids was innocent and so.
No, dude, they always did it. They've always done something.
So
if I can't prove it, it doesn't matter.
So you think this guy is guilty, despite your lack of research, your total lack of research in this case?
I did some research, Timmy.
No, and wait a minute. I feel like what you have presented in front of me is amazing research, and from that, I am forming my opinion.
Okay.
Well,
I think he's innocent because they had enough evidence.
You can either say that your research sucks.
What would they do if they had enough evidence on him, Colonel? If they had enough evidence, what would Steve McGarrett say?
Book him, Dana.
Yeah,
after I got this script, it was so compelling to me. Mm-hmm. And I've had it for a few days, so I did some ancillary. Oh, I'm sorry, Devil. Ancillary, that means additional, Devil. I did some additional research.
I love how I didn't ask.
And I catch myself doing that because, you know,
we don't have another podcast. We don't have a big-breasted intern, first of all.
We don't. But we will.
Mm-hmm.
But we will.
You got a big-breasted co-host. I don't know what else you want.
We do.
Well, we want a single. We want a single big-breasted intern.
Without the nasty
ass.
Wait
a minute.
A man
you just want
with big breasts.
You just
we're not saying
you
that.
You want an intern one big breast?
We're not saying that it has to be male or female. It could be a big-breasted male.
We just want an intern. See, the difference between you and most other women, Devil, is that in the course of just a regular friendly conversation, there's always the threat of you stabbing somebody.
Yes. And we are opposed to that.
We are opposed to that.
Especially if it's us.
If it's us. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know why we you know what we need to do, Timmy? We need to thank the people who support this show, Timmy.
Yes, we do. Why don't you do that, Colonel? If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historygrees, where you can give a little, you can give a lot,
or just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Yes, we appreciate all your contributions and support. And the Colonel now is going to tell us, give a shout out to all the wonderful people who support this podcast.
Well, let's start with Jim Seabright. Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane in Hawaii.
Tommy Lane, who may have some insight on this topic because she, of course, is in Hawaii.
Jason Dykes, Terry, Stratford Malachi, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Svoboda, Purr, Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kenny, the lovely Erica, Hiro, Comeback Podcast, LK Bar, Anut, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula.
Clark, by the way, Ben Diana, is it now moved to Texas?
He is.
There with Heather. So congratulations, guys.
He's probably got some boots.
He probably doesn't. He's probably walking
around looking like Justified down there. Beth Ann Whalen, Michelle Johns. You know Michelle.
The lovely Michelle.
The lovely Michelle.
And I spoke over.
The future Mrs. Walters.
Yes. And I spoke over. I interrupted you when you said Clark and Diane.
Yeah. Our good friends, Clark and Diane. Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, the lovely, lovely Leanne Flanagan.
Yes, Julia, I will be seeing tomorrow. We're going to meet in San Francisco.
Oh, you're seeing her?
Yes,
soon?
And we're going to have... Realize. Yes, I'm going to see her in San Francisco, and we're going to have a History Dweebs meetup next Friday in San Francisco. Just a
now,
small
what
meetup.
Is she... Does she just want to see San Francisco, or does she have a reason to be there, Timmy?
She wants to see me.
I know, but goddamn, England, it seems like she could stop before she got to San Francisco. Well, okay. Julia Rodriguez, the Brits
she could go anywhere.
The Brits think different, yeah. Mike
they
Sadler.
They do think differently than us. Yes, they do. But, yeah, we're going to, yeah.
Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boyce, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells. Jody's
our good
always
friends,
one of my
yes.
favorites there. Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us podcast. Now, if you want to listen to a real true crime podcast, look to Walk Among Us. Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Russell Widener, the lovely Callie Jones, Timmy.
Callie Jones, very, very funny.
You know,
lady.
I just wish.
She's
how
in
fun
Florida,
would it
by
be
the way.
To have Callie as a daughter? She's in Florida.
Yeah, Callie, join us for DweebCon this year. Seriously.
We need to fly. You know who we need to bring us? Stephen Potts and Callie. That would be a.
That would be fun.
Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown from Pleasing Terrors, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edgerton, The History Goes Bump podcast, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Lahara Lopez, Elise and Chip Mincy, Markia Smith, Dr. Jeff and his lovely bride, Dawn.
Yeah, I hope they come up for a week.
Yeah, that
would
be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Barnes, of course. Rachel Flynn, Shirley, the lovely, wonderful Shirley Strap. Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, You Kill My Father, Prepare to Die. Maja.
Yes.
Shelley Garrett.
Your good friend Elise, and co-host of the you changed the name.
You changed it. Context and Clarity.
Context and Clarity is the new name.
That's right. I'm
Rants
both
Reason.
Of them. Timmy,
because,
why?
Because
if
he's
you know
not
me,
ranting anymore. It's a
I'm
good,
calling
it's
out.
A good,
no.
It's a good
That's
name change.
Not true.
But it's a good name change because the show is really good. and it kind of puts things in perspective, and they don't sit there and yell at each other. And I think the name Rants kind of implied that they did, and they don't do that. So yes. Check it out.
She does yell at me, Clarity. But that's generally before the show.
It's what you say. It's mostly history with the little politics.
It's kind of a political history podcast.
Current events, I think. Yeah,
it's kind of taking current events and looking at it through a historical lens. Timmy is what we try to do.
Yes, yeah. She and Karen does a wonderful job. You do okay.
Yeah, so much like this. I just show up to record. Yeah,
exactly. Karen does a great job, and Chuck just shows up.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I didn't want to say that, but okay. Yeah.
I don't know why.
I'm kind of the pretty face of that podcast.
You know, you can meet some. No. You can meet some interesting women on Greyhound buses. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, you can. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go. The Vanish Podcast, Canadian True Crime, and Charlie from Insight, Angela Santos, Lydia Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacey.
You don't even have to get on a bus. You can meet them at the Greyhound bus station.
As they get off, yeah. Uh-huh. Just help them with their luggage.
Yeah.
Cheryl Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane, Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Mark and Chi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, fellow West Side here.
Yeah.
Ruth Sherrard, Keith Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Nick Johnson, Natasha Burgess, Julie Bentley, Patty Schmidt. Of course, the wonderful, wonderful Lady Beverly, who just adds class to this place. The world's most dangerous canine, Timmy.
That would be Rudy the Wonder Dog.
Rudy, the fiercest canine that ever walked the face of the earth, the most loyal and the smartest, Timmy.
Absolutely.
And the woman we do this show week after week, and sometimes every other week. And hopefully we collected enough bodies in this episode to please her. The wonderful Dottie Scott, the woman that makes this show all possible, Timmy.
You know, she spends her days watching squatters on YouTube.
Well,
there's a whole show, Brandy. Just you know, there's a whole YouTube series on people who are squatting in homes, you know, and they have to kick them out.
Yeah,
you're kidding.
I didn't know it was such a – no, it's a big thing, and there's this whole YouTube series on squatting. You should check it out. There's like endless. She watches them all day long. Brandy will probably be squatting in a tiny house one day.
She will.
That's the answer to your problems, Brandy.
Tiny house.
A tiny house.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Get a tiny house.
I hope I'm not there yet.
Get a tiny house. We each need a tiny house. Can you get three people in a tiny house?
No.
Not us three.
All right. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Good
day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.